We're starting a new perek, fifth perek. B'mei Behemoth is the third of the four B'meis in Masechta Shabbos. We had B'mei Tomni, right? We had B'mei Mezrikin. B'mei Behemoth, the last one's by Isha. So if someone wants to work out a drush on these four things, people have. Okay, just real quickly, a clarification. It's on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. On the ice cube trays, we left off yesterday as a Tzorach Iyun on making ice cubes on Shabbos. So I used to have Shvardon yesterday downstairs. I said all my life, I heard this idea, as long as you make it with enough time to have it on Shabbos, it should be mutter. And yet the Shmir Shabbat Kilchasa was machmir on it because of Rashi that it should be noled. So he was like, you know, he, wonderful person, because he knows the Shmir Shabbat Kilchasa, machloket poskim. And because of the machloket poskim, the Shmir Shabbat Kilchasa says it's best to refrain from it. He says, but the velt is noheg to make them. What about Rashi over here? Rashi says it's an issur nolat. If you melt the ice cubes in the cup, you had nolat, so it should be the opposite around, way around also. Well, how do you get out of that? He said that there's a difference in nolat. He says, when you have an ice cube and you melt it, that water over there is a certain permanence to it on Shabbos. That is nolat. But when you make an ice cube, the ice cube is not meant to stay in that ice cube form. It's meant to be melted. He wants to tell you that's not nolat. It's a nolat temporary. It's a temporary nolat on Shabbos, and that doesn't hold weight. And therefore, even Rashi would hold that only when you melt the ice cubes there'll be a nolat. But loft off when you make the ice cubes there'll be a nolat. When you melt ice cubes, the water is standing there. That water has a certain permanence to it. It's not going to change. But ice cubes are meant to be changed back into water. So that's not called making a nolad on Shabbos. And therefore, he said, once you can make ice cubes, but you should be careful to make sure that if you put the water in the tray, that there's enough time for it to freeze up on Shabbos. Why? Because then you might be over hachana l'chol. You're not allowed to do things on Shabbos for the purpose of the week. There's already Shalosh Shudas, you put the water in the tray. You're basically saying, I want ice cubes Motzi Shabbos, and you're doing a Maiso on Shabbos for Motzi Shabbos, and that we don't allow.
But the freezer
is not changed. What? Yeah, but the status of an ice cube you want to the Taina is meant to be changed. But water is sloughed off because you're meant to change it. Tomorrow. Rav Lutz coming back tomorrow. Okay. Starting a new perek. We'll see the subject matter in this parak. I just want to know that this parak is a short parak, and it has some very important agadot in it that we're going to see on tzaddikim, why tzaddikim get judged very harshly at a time of plague. And then there's going to be famous sugyas on Tanakh, on all the people who seemingly sinned on Tanakh. We're going to explain the averot. Kol Omer Ruvin, Chateinu Elitower, David Melech, Shlomo Melech, Bnei Eli, these are our famous Gemaras that we're going to come off in the next few days. But to start the parak over here, we're going to have an interesting subject matter. We'll start off with Rashi, because he gives a hakdama to the issue. B'mei Behema Yotza, what can the Behema go out with? Rashi, what's the problem over here? Mevisha Adam Mitzava Al Shvisas Behema, Behema's over Shabbos. A person is commanded, it's a mitzvah derisa, that your behema has to rest on Shabbos. Oh. Umidi de mitzrabe behema, havi takshid vi arche velo havi masoi. Anything is for the protection of the behema is considered a takshid, something, jewelry for it. We'll get into this takshid issue tomorrow. It's not such an easy thing what Vashi's adding in over here. And it's its way of the animal, and therefore it's not called a masoi. A masoi is a burden. You're not allowed to burden the animals on Shabbos. We'll see exactly what that means in a minute. Umidi de lo mintrabe, and something that's not for its protection. Havi masoi. It's a masoi. So what are we dealing with in this parak? It's something that we're not so nogeya to, because we're not really farmers with all kinds of farm animals, but there are some issues that are nogeya to dog owners and cat owners on this parak. Is we have a commandment on Shabbos called Shvisas Behema. So the Shmir Shabbat Kilchasa, we'll just go over the basics of the din before we start the parak, just to get an idea of what we're dealing with over here. The Torah asked Shvisas Behemoth. There's two Isurim in the Torah going on dealing with your behemoths. One of them is in the Isurim of Dibros, that it says, V'lo taseh kol melacha ta u'bincha, yametecha, all the people, and all these things, you're not allowed to do it. That's called an issa of mechamer, of putting a load on a behema, and you doing a pa'ula with the animal. You're causing the animal to work. You give it a whack on its bump or something, or you call it and it will come because of your voice. That's called a shituf of work with a person. If you take the cow and you do charisha with it on Shabbos, besides the other Yisroim, you'll be over the issur of lotas sakol melacha with your animal. So that's one issur of you don't do work with your animal, the shituf with a person. And the proportion go over here and say, we're not talking about that issur over here. There's another pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says, "Lema'an yenuach shorcha v'chamorcha," that your animals should rest. 6 days you work, on the seventh day you rest, and your animals, "Lema'an yenuach," it should be yenuach for them. So this is something different, and this is called shvitzas behema, meaning if your animal is working on Shabbos or doing something even without you, memeila, you are commanded that you have to stop them. So if your cow is in the field and he just happens to be doing charisha without you on Shabbos, you have a mitzvah to stop him. Therefore, if he's wearing a burden and he's about to go outside into Rishus Harvavim and go Dalet Amos Rishus Harvavim with that burden, you have to stop your animal. Your animal's not allowed to do it because Leman Yenuach. Since Leman Yenuach, you have to make sure your animal is at rest, and that's not considered at rest. So that's why we're going to have to define what exactly is called the normal gear for an animal that he wears. That's not called a burden. So this Gemara is over here is basically going to go into what's the difference between a burden on an animal and what's something for its own protection. So there's lots of things for protection for an animal. I don't think putting a little coat on a poodle would be exactly a protection for the animal. We'll have to, that would be really tomorrow's sugya. But our sugya is going to talk about, Rashi said protection. So just to go a little right in the Shmir Shabbat Kilchasa, he says like this, what is Shmira HaRagila Shel Gufa Vehema? You need something that's vaga for the animal. What the animal needs over here. For example, something that's for the good of the animal. If the animal is going to get very cold, then yes, the regular Shmira for the animal is putting a cloth on them, especially a donkey. The donkeys are very cold. Putting a chain on and a leash on an animal or a collar on the animal in order that it won't get lost is for the animal's protection. Therefore, you're allowed to put a collar on an animal. Any protection to keep the animal clean and not damaged is protection for the animal. These are not called masoi. But if you want to put a chain on an animal in order for it not to damage others, that's not called for its protection. That's protection as well. That's for your things, that your issues. That's not in the getter of the animal should be yenuach. Okay, so the animal's allowed to do, it's just the derech agav, an animal's allowed to graze on Shabbos. Right? You let your cow out in the field and he's going to graze. He's over Talisha. He's pulling out the grain from the ground. That's not an issue for the animal. Because again, it's a positive mitzvah, lema'an yanuach shorcha. Your animal has to be yanuach. So whatever's good for him, that'll do. A burden on him, having an extra masoi on him, and walking outside is something the animal would not like to have, and he'll probably try and pull it off or whatever, or he just gives up and keeps it on. That would be where the issa is. Okay. That's what we're dealing with now, shvisis behema. B'me behema yotza, b'ein enu yotza. What can an animal go out with? Meaning what is considered normal protection for the animal and not a masoi, and what is considered a masoi, extra protection. So we're going to go first in this mission on things that are protection and what an animal could go out with. Yotze kamo biyasa. An animal can go out with a rein around its mouth, a rope that's tied around its mouth. Vinaka, a female camel, can go out only with a chotan. That's a nose ring. It's a much better protection. The female camels are a little more wilder. They need a little more protection. And therefore, you're allowed to put something even more. Okay? Well, the Gemara will discuss what happens if you put a chotam, a nose ring, around a camel. Extra protection, is that considered a masoi? Something that he doesn't need, and you're putting it on anyway because you want to have the extra protection. Is that called a masoi, a burden on the animal, not an izidras or not? We'll see tomorrow tonight. Luvdikim is a Libyan donkey, bitfumbia. That's a metal bit in the mouth and needs a little bit more protection. These are very hardy animals and they could break out of other things. Therefore, you need something a little bit more. Vesus bishir. Vesus can go out with what's a rein on an animal? On a sus, the leash for a horse. I think it's called a rein. Vechol bali asher, anything that needs some kind of leash on it, yotze bishir, they could go out with their leash on them. That's for their protection. Finanshkin the shear, and you can nimshachin, you can bring them in with the shear. They can well explain all this. Umazin aleihem, since they're wearing this and it becomes part of them, if it becomes tumah while it's on them, you could take the waters of the paraduma and you could do hazah on them. Fitovlin nimkomo, and if it needs to be tovel in a mikvah, these chains or whatever that surround them, you could just tovel the whole animal with them on it, and that's considered tevila. The Gemara will get into it, and we'll have a sugya on to it. Try with a cat, right? Okay, Rashi. Let's see his first Rashi again, and we're going to go back to the Shvashi again. We'll see it twice right now. So what's the problem over here? There's a person's commanded, a deraisa, mitzvah deraisa, your animal has to be at rest. Now again, we're dealing with the positive mitzvah of l'man yenuach, not the iser of that he can't do any malacha. There'll be a difference in onshim, obviously, because if someone's over an aser and someone's over a lotaser, there's a difference in how do we administrate the punishment on a person, if he gets machos or not. But we're dealing with the mitzvah asa over here. Umidi the mitzvah bebehema havi takshid. Anything that's for the protection of the animal, it's a takshid fi orcha, and it's its way of doing it. Below havi masoin, it's not called a masoin. Umidi lo mitzvah be havi masoin. Anything that's not for its protection is a masoin. An afsar, which is basically a leash, a tether, is a kavishtra, a naka, is a dromil, bechata, meforsh begemor, luvdekim bepumbia, meforsh begemor. Bishir, which is a leash, kamo etzada saviv tzivar, or a collar, it's like a necklace around its neck, v'tabat kivuavo, and there's a ring that's fixed in it, u'machnisim bo v'tsua, or a kevel, and you can put a strap or a rope, u'moshkim ha-behema, now pull the behema. V'ko bali esher, could go in kolavim shel tzayidim, hunting dogs, v'chayet kitanot, and small that you put this around them for beautiful purposes. It's a takshi. Yotzi v'nim shachim v'forsh b'gamor mazin aleim b'mkomo k'mo she'im she'im b'tzavaram b'tzavar ha'behema im nitmo. Since they're on the neck of the behema, if they become tama, you can just sprinkle it while it's on them. V'tov l'mkomo maknisim behema l'mayim l'tfil et asher. You're allowed to bring the animal into the water in order to do tevila on the kala. Okay, Gemara. My naka. What is the naka bechatam? What is the naka? What is the chatam? What are we talking about over here? Omer Rav Avchana na'achta chivarta bizama deparsla. Rashi. My naka, my chatam, chivarta, it's white. Shehi kasha. A white female donkey is very difficultly shtamer to watch over. Mipnesha barechet. She escapes. She runs off. Therefore, you need something a little bit extra on her. The zamer de parzla, it's a mozio balaz, it's a noki v'chatamo, you pierce its nose, umachnisim v'tocho, and you put a ring in it. V'hu kamin tabat, it's like a tabat over here in the nose ring for this camel. It needs much more than something right around its mouth. It needs a good nose ring to pull it.
How does it stop
it from running away? And you tie it up to it. If it's something in the mouth, then maybe they could get away with it. They could break out of it. But a fixed nose ring and its flesh, it won't be, it's a much better shmur. For something that doesn't need that, there'll be a question if that's called a burden. If in the animals, it's enough just to tie it up to its mouth. But what is it called? A rein? If you rein in the animal with a mouthpiece, can you put in a nose piece on it? Would that be considered a burden? And you'd be over Shvisa's behema. It's going to be in just a minute when I see that. A luv dekim bipumbia. A luv dekim bipumbia. Omer Rav Huna, a luv dekim is a chama luba. It's a Libyan donkey, and they were very hardy donkeys. Chama, donkey. These are donkeys now. Bipagi de parzla, with a metal bit. Rashi, chama luba. Chamo abam medina lub. It's an animal that comes from the country of Lub. Chamo akushim, the alubim, Ethiopia, Libya, these are all countries that are near each other in Africa that surround Mitzrayim. The asvetivar yomim. Bepagi de parzala. It's a prior. Ke'en shalom, just like ours. Pagi, I guess that's the metal bit. Zekan a chamor, a beit pari. When you buy a chamor, you get the beit pari, you get the fit with him. Kavlil, a beit roshav alachim. So Rashi says it's Medina Lub. Where is exactly Medina Lub? And very interesting Tosfot. Chama Luba. Rebbeinu Tam says, Luba hayinu Mitzrayim. It's Egypt. Meaning, Luba has a din of Egypt over here. Libya. Yeah. What?
Libya.
Ah, but it's on the border of Egypt. So I saw Tiferet Yisrael. Tiferet Yisrael says, yeah, Lub is a country right on the side of Mitzrayim. So why is Rebbeinu Tam saying that it's Mitzrayim? It's really a different country over here. So there's an Afkamina. What happens if a goy from Libya wants to convert? Is he considered an Egyptian or not? There's a big difference. Anyone from any of the Ummah or the Olam can convert. You just have to wait 3 generations. I'm sorry, they can convert immediately. Someone from Mitzrayim has to wait 3 generations before they can convert. So over here, Rebbeinu Tam brings up the issue. If someone says he's from Lub, do we wait 3 days or not? Do we consider him from Mitzrayim? Even though today with our modern things, Libya is considered a different country. That's because we man-made fixed borders over here. But, you know, towns that are bordering, countries that are bordering, what exactly is a Libyan? Is a Libyan really considered someone from Mitzrayim or not? And we have to know that in case someone comes to convert.
I have an Aaron Sotha says nowadays there is no more of the Egyptian.
And Achinami. There's actually Machloket on it. Rabbi Akiva came and says we don't hold it. But yeah, you're right. Everything said, Kherif came and was Mebabel, the Olam, which is country over here. We don't know who's coming from where anyway, so we could convert anyone. Today, I guess the only enough community, it's like a label. You know, you get the Libyan donkey. Well, it came from Egypt. What do you mean from Egypt? I bought it in Libya. Like everybody wants an Arabian steed, right? They have to have, has the names. So the Libyan donkey was the Luba from Mitzrayim. Okay, Levi. Levi shot the Zuzi Lebe Chazai. He sent some money to the Bey Chazai. Some people lived in Bubble to do some business from. Mizavin Bey Kamaluba. He wanted the Arabian steed. He wanted a Libyan donkey. So what did they do? This is all the way in Bubble. How are you going to get a Libyan donkey in Bubble? So they tied up the money. Shadru Le Sa'ar. And they tied with it a package of barley. Lameima Le Nigra De Chamit Sa'ar. And they're basically telling him, you want a Libyan donkey? The strength, the legs, meaning how hard a chamer can work, is dependent on the sa'ar that you feed it. Don't go all the way to Libya. Just buy a regular local donkey, feed it barley over here, and you'll have a nice, strong donkey. Rashi. Soro Shadri Le Sa'ari. Soro Ma'atav Vishalcha. They tied up the money, and they sent him Sa'arim, Pitzfora, in the package Ma'atav with the money. They didn't want to buy him this type of chamor. Why? Libya is a half a year's travel from Babel. You want such a name in the donkey? Goes like we've seen another chamor. And therefore they gave him an eight to buy a donkey in your place. And feed him barley, tommy, constantly. And you'll have a nice and good, praiseworthy chamor like a Libyan chamor. Nigri de chamor sa'ari, the siotal shal chamor, the steps of the chamor is lefi sa'arim shehu ochel, according to the food that you feed him. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. Machlifim lefnei Rebbe shel zu bisu. We switched around, meaning the Mishnah says the camel can only go out in an afsar, and the nachah in a chatam, and the female camel in a nose ring. What happens if you put the leash or whatever on a female camel, or the nose ring on the regular camel, is that considered, when you didn't do the proper shmira on the animal, is that called a masoina? Meaning, if you did a less of a shmira, it's not going to do the full job, is that called a burden on the animal and you'll be over an issur deraisa? Or the other way, if you put on something much more than what the animal needs, he doesn't need that type of shmira. Is that called a burden or not? They switched it around, mahu. What's the din? Naka, the female donkey, the female white camel that needs an extra shmira, the afsar with this light piece of shmira, loti boilach. That we're not asking on. Why? Kaven de lo mintra, since she's not going to be kept with this light piece of equipment, the mouthpiece, bay masoyu. That for sure is a masoy. Why are you putting it on? It's not going to guard her anymore. She's going to be able to escape with it. That's not called something for her to guard her, therefore it's a masoy, it's a burden. Ki diboy lecha, the whole question is a gamel bechatam. Can you do extra shmira, put something more than necessary on the animal? My. Given the sagile biatzar, since it's enough just a mouthpiece, therefore if you put on the nose piece, it's a masoilu. It becomes a burden, it's something unnecessary for the animal. Or dilma, nitibuti yeter to lower mina masoilu. Or an extra guarding of the animal is not called a masoilu. So again, you have your camel over here. It only needs something on its mouth. You put on something over and beyond what it needs. Is that called you're doing extra shmira? You want to be careful? Or no? Since the animal doesn't need that, that's called a burden. And if it goes out, you're over an iser about not preventing your animal from doing a malach on Shabbos. And therefore will be an iser. So what is extra shmira? And this sugya is basically going to cover us through today and a little bit of tomorrow. If an extra burden is put on an animal, is that called extra shmir, is that called a burden or not? So that was the question brought before Rebbe. Omer lefanav Rebbe Yishmol b'Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Yishmol, the son of Rebbe Yossi, who we know that Rebbe was kafuf to the psak of Rebbe Yossi, called out, Kach omer Abba, this is what my Abba said once. Abba behema yotza b'yafsa, there are four animals that go out with the mouthpiece. Hasus, a horse, a parrot, a mule, ve'gamel, ve'chamor, the camel, and the donkey. These four go out with an asar. Oh, that's what my father once said. Lema'utei mai, and now Rabbi Yishmael is saying, what is it? If he says four, it's coming to exclude something. What is it coming to exclude? Is it not lav lema'utei gamel v'chata? Coming to exclude in a camel with the extra shmir with the nose piece. And therefore, my father said only these four could go out. These four go out with an asar. Therefore, he's coming to the milayit. If something went out with more shmira, they shouldn't do it. That's the diuk that he wanted to make in the name of his father. And Rabbeinu Kiddush said, no, I don't agree that that's the proper diuk to make from what your father said. It's coming to the ma'ute, the naka, the asar. You know, he said four animals can go out with an asar, with a mouthpiece. What is it coming to exclude? Is it a miut on the four animals, that these animals only go on an afsar but nothing else? Or no, that these animals go on an afsar and not a fifth type of animal could go out the afsar, meaning the female donkey. So basically the deal that Rebbe Yishmael wanted to make was that the animals only go out in the shmira that's required for it and not shmira that is over beyond, that would be afsar. And Rabbeinu Kodesh said, no, the deal of the Mishnah is animals go out with the shmira that it's good for it, but not a lower level shmira for it. Not a na'aka, the female doctor, camel, in the afsar, in the mouth bit. So we're left with Rabbeinu Kodesh basically holding that shmira yetera is not a masoi, is not a burden. The matnita tana, we have a price that says the luftikim. The Libyan donkeys. Now we said a Libyan donkey needs a plumbia. It needs a metal bit in his mouth, which is more of a shmira than an afsar, than the regular rope. We have a brisa that says the luftikim v'gamol yotzim b'afsar. A brisa says that they can go out in an afsar, a thing for the mouth, and yet our Mishnah says no, it needs something more. Well, listen, if it could go out with an afsar, then putting on this metal bit on it should be a shmir yeter, and we have a raya from our Mishnah to the Brisa that something that's more of a shmir for it should not be a problem. Kitanai. It's a machloket tonight. Rashi's. Machlifim. We'd switch the order of the materials in the Mishnah before Rebbe. She'elatam na'aka b'yavsa. And we asked him, what about the female donkey with the avsa, with the leash around the mouth? The gamel bechatam and the gamel regular camel with the nose ring, mahu masayu v'aser or not? So the first one we said lav the muti gamel bechatam, isn't it coming out to exclude the camel with the chatam with the nose ring, which is more of a shmira? Taki, come on, this is what he's saying. Arba behemot halu, these four animals mishtamin be afsar, they are only guarded with the afsar, the mouthpiece. V'yisurim letzei b'chotem. But they're also to go out with a greater shmira, like the chotem. And Rebbe said, lo, not so, lema'uti naka b'yafsar. Daho elo mitrebe, since the female camel is not going to be guarded by this mouth rein, masoyu, it's a masoy for it. Aval netirta, netivuta, yeterta. but a greater level of shmir, kagon kotin legamo, lav masoyim, it's not considered a burden. Achiyotzim biyafsar, the luf de kinami mitrebe. It's also a shmir for the Libyan donkey. Hakikosin kitanai, and we have the tanai over here. We have a makloka tanai. Ein chaya yotze bisagor. And a animal does not go out with a soger. A soger is something that leashes it up. Whatever soger closes up an animal. It's not a muzzle. It's much more Rashi. We'll see in a minute. Let's just see Rashi. Kitanai. Nitributi yeterta, extra shmira, imasori hu or lo. That's the question. It's a machloka tanoim if extra shmira is considered a burden or not. The soger, it's a collar. Collar shall hevel. I guess a rope, a collar on it. There's a certain collar for an animal. It's for its protection. One says an animal can't go out in it, and Chananya ome yotza bisoger. It can go out with this type of collar. Ubekol davar mishtame. And anything that an animal needs to protect it, it can go out with. But maya skinan, what kind of animal are we talking about with the soger? Ilene bechaya gedola. Are we talking about a large animal like a bear? Misagi le soger? Is a soger, is a collar going to help out with a bear over here? A little rope thing around his neck? That's not going to help with a bear over here. Therefore, everybody would hold that that would be a masoy. Ela b'chaya katana. Talking about a small animal, a chulda or whatever, a marten. Milo sagi le soger? Isn't this rope collar good for it? It should be fine for it. So what are they arguing on over here? Ela lav chatul. A cat. If you put a collar on a cat over here that doesn't really need to have a rope around it, it could be nayom. There's a difference between them. Tanakama sover, kava de sagi lei b'mitna, since it's fine for a small rope on it, to put a soger on it would be too much of a shmir on it, biyama. Since it's sagi lei b'mitna biyama, just a small little thing, it's a masoyu to put a regular soger on it that you'd use for a regular animal. The Chananya Sovin, Chananya holds, kol netiruti yeter to lo amrinan masoyu. Anything that's a little extra shmira on the animal is not called a burden. Rashi, bechaya gedola, that's kikon dov, a bear. Ketana kikon nemya v'chulda, certain types of, I guess like a marten, people have martens. Chatul, it's interesting Rashi on the nature of a chatul. A cat needs less shmira than other animals, but does need a little something. Lo poya netivuta filu kechaya. It doesn't need guarding, even like a chaya kitana. She'enu ta'ev livroch kol kach. An animal, a cat, doesn't have such a desire to run off so much. They'll hang out. They're cool. Right? They'll just stay by and hang. They could use something, but not too much. They're not going to run off. Nature of the cat. Famitna chevel katan is a small rope over here. Okay. Omer Rav Huna Bar Chia. Remember Rav Huna Bar Chia. Omer Shmuel, he said, Shmuel, halacha kechananya. Halacha is like kechananya. Rashi said, Netiruti yeter to lav masoyu. Extra shmir on the animal is not a burden. And we'll see that there's going to be it's not going to be down, brought down a halacha. There's going to be a Rav that's going to be cholek. Rav Shmuel, we hold like Rav in Yisorim. So the halakha, even though we say halakha is like Kananya over here, we'll see that the Gemara is going to change tomorrow. Now that was Rav Huna Bar Chia. Rav Huna Bar Chia said the halakha is like Kananya. Levi, Berea de Rav Huna Bar Chia. Levi, the son of the one who said the halakha is like Rav Huna Bar Chia. So the halakha is like Kananya. He was Havi Ka'adl Biorcha. He was traveling on the way with his donkey. Kad me chamer de Levi, le chamer de Rabba Rav Huna. Rabba Rav Huna was a big cuddle, much bigger than Levi. And Levi overtook him on the road, passed him on the road. Right? Car driving, right? Over here. Can you pass Rev Lef? If you're driving in back room, can you pass him over here? All of a sudden, Levi comes, pulls a move around the corner, cuts him off, passes him over here. Chalish taiti de Rabba Rav Huna. Rabba Rav Huna got upset a little bit over here. There's Talmud over here. Passing over here. It's not Derek Eretz. Oh, man. Anyway, Levi realized he made a mistake over here. And it wasn't his fault. He lost control of his donkey. His donkey passed him. I'm going to say something to our Rabbi Rav Huna in order to appease him over here, to let him know that I didn't mean really to cut him off over here. So he catches, you know, when they end over there, Omele says to the Rebbe, Chomashi Oscar Vayim Kagon Zeh. Bad donkeys. Donkeys are up to no good like this one, meaning trying to put all the blame on this. You know, this donkey over here, it wasn't me. The donkey did it. Ma'ol Metzeit Bepumbia B'Shabbos. This donkey, we see how wild is. He just overtook you. I would never dream of doing that. Can you go out? Can you go out? Does he need extra shmir on it? Now, obviously, he knows the answer to this because his father said the luck is like this over here. So he's doing it totally to appease him, to take the blame off himself and put it on his donkey. Omele haki omi avuch. This is what your father said. Mishmei Dishmol. Your father himself said the Mei Shmol. Halacha ki Kenanya. Halacha is like Kenanya, and you can put an extra shmir on him. Rashi. He was a great person, and he thought that Levi did it on purpose, just overtook him. The Atuvi Daite, he wanted to appease him. He didn't do it on purpose. But Pumbia, me having a tear to your tear to look up your love. Is it a extra shmir or not? Halakha Kananya, below Ikbalan. And it makes no difference him having a tear to your tear or not. Extra things. But Rabbeinu Tam brings a big question from Brochos. Remember when we were learning Brochos, we had a question that ain't mechavdim bitzrochim. We don't have to be mechavdim people. When you're on the path over here, you know, every man for themselves. You go. You don't have to. The guy's driving slow over here. You pass him over here. Only in a door that has a, that's void for a mezuzah, is an Indian of being mechavid someone over here. So what do you do with that? It seems like it's tearing more. Why is he getting all upset? Meforish gemor. You don't have to be mechavid bitzrochim. So Rabbeinu Tam brings a chilik between the cases over here. When you're going one-on-one, and you're traveling and they're traveling, ain't mechavdim b'tzvachim. You can pass the Rav on the road. You see your Rebbe, you can pass him on the road, it's not a problem, you're not traveling together. But when you're traveling in a chabura, there is a certain derech eretz of how you travel. The Rebbe's in the middle, the next chash is on the right, the next chash is on the left. When you're going in an entourage, you don't pass the Rebbe, you don't walk in front of him over here. So our case is going, they were obviously traveling together, it wasn't derech eretz to pass. So I don't know how you'll be late this Monday. Maybe if we're all going somewhere together, that one should pass. But the lemaisa, if a person's driving on the road and they see the Rav in a car, there's not a problem with passing. Okay. Just don't cut him off. Okay, time for another piece. Tana de Bay Menasya. We have a brisa from the base medicine of Menasya. A goat. Goats are wild and they escape. They're swifty over there. They know how to get out. I remember there's a goat on the Moshe, they're always chasing it down. The Weintraub goat. Anyway, remember, it's always looking for where the goat went. It's hard to keep them in. So what do you do over here? To tie it up, their heads are very thin. They'll get out of it. They'll wiggle out of whatever you tie up. So shechakach la bein karneya. You engraved, I guess, a ridge in his horns, and now you put the rope in that. Oh, that will hold him good. So in A's, you need to be chakach la bein karneya, and now you're to be asar. Now you could leash him up. In that way, b'Shabbos, that's allowed. Rashi, yotzi b'yafser im techavu b'chakikat keren. If you stuck it in the chakikat of the keren, or maybe just the ridges, you don't have to do it yourself. The ridges of the keren, that's the way to cover it up. Aval b'kishira b'alma, but just stop tying up a goat. Lo, tilma shalfa mereisha. He'll pull out of it, his head out of it. Metok shiroshu dak. His head is thin. Vehi mitnat the lakan. He'll just go back and forth. And he'll pull on it, and he'll escape from it, and now he'll travel around with this leash, and you're into a problem over here. So this goat, you have to, a certain way that you tie up the goat through its horns over here. Boy, Rav Yosef, talk of Le Bizakna. What happens if you tie it in its beard, right? A billy goat has a beard. So you take the beard and you tie the two ends of it nice and tight like a rope, and now you put the rope in the knot in it, and now you put the rope through that. Once he tries pulling left and right, it's going to hurt him, and therefore he'll stop pulling on it, and therefore it should be a good shmira. Well, can you do that to a goat? Put the rope through its beard. Mahu. Kevan. Te'i minatikla. If he tries pulling out of it, ka'eva. It will pain it, and therefore it'll stop. Or Dilma, lo atil in it, therefore he's not going to try and pull out of it. Or Dilma, zimnim derabi napil. Like sometimes it will fall off, it will get loosened, and he will get out of it. What do you do with that case? Take him.
I wonder why a child by the Chaim doesn't even come into the picture yet.
Because anything for your purpose for it is not called Tzar Bar Lechaim. If you have to do something to an animal in order that it doesn't escape, then that's not Tzar Bar Lechaim. We're talking about unnecessary pain for an animal would be Tzar Bar Lechaim. So over here. And also it doesn't have to come to Tzar Bar Lechaim. The second it pains itself, it stops over here. Takav le bezikna shekasha sar zikna kamin nekav. You make like a, you tie it together so there's a hole over there in his beard. The takavi afsa letoko, now you put the leash in over there. Minatka mitnakta vikofetzit ana va'ana, it will try and pull out or livork miado. Kevla, but over here it will hurt him. Hazakin shinitlasha sar umikeva, it will pain him and therefore it'll stop. So the Rambam over here brings down this case over here and he passes l'chumah. That one should be careful with your A's, and therefore do not put a rope through its beard. And he says, Ukayotzibo, in any similar case like this, he brings down only this case, any similar case like this. I think the Rambam is telling you, this is a case over here, and use your brains over here. If we're going Lechomo over here, then anything that might fall off over here, that has a chance of falling off, don't use. Even though it might be koevit, you have to think about your animal over here. Anything that it can get out of and might come to go dalet amos and reshus ravim, don't use. For behemoth, rather you do something, either putting in its horns, or you do something according to the mission it says over there, and that's the proper way to take care of the animal on Shabbos.